right.
No, that right is right.
That article is 100% correct. But we are making a lot of sport, highly educated people, brilliant minds going and get the best degrees, and then come out here and act like successful white people. And let me tell you something, Corey, because this is what I say. Let me tell you something. See? I want you to understand that I was to do Karims in Barbados, the promotive ring. Not only for Barbados, but the whole of South America, and I got a whole set of countries off Australia. I met a white man in Barbados, and I told him, because I had the mind to put up all this, I told him that I would like him to get involved in it. And he talked to me, called his wife, tell his wife, you know who in front of me now? Obviously, she wouldn't know. He said, Mohammed Nasser. So now he's done investing money, and I told him investing money, but he goes, it's a fantastic idea. You know, I think I get involved in this. The man looked at me and tell me he's going there in December, the end of December, and he would go meet the people and get things sorted out. You know what happened? He get an Englishman event to see the company and murdered me with the company, but he didn't know that the fella was that kind of fella. As soon as they leave, the man called me and tell me, Mr. Nasser, calling two people by names, an Englishman, the local one. Come in here and did a number on you. But if my rims are not made by you in the Caribbean, they will never be made. And to this day, it's about 20 years, they've never been made yet. Let me tell you another one, because I was listening to these monkey people talking. They talking about serious business. Wherever I go to say you can build anything. What is it I feel you can make it? And by the way, my entire family, my entire skilled family is very highly skilled. It's very highly skillful. Listen, I went to Miami and I saw this fantastic shelving for supermarkets and things. And I went to the guy and I told the guy, I won't be able to listen to these things. I told the guy, I picked up those things in Barbados. Listen, man, listen for this. Listen, this is a massive business. But I said, let me come in here. So he gave me the manager name. He gave me manager, the president name. I called the president. He said, you make those. I said, yeah. He said, I'm coming down to see you. He came down here to see me. And I won't be able to understand what he's doing about paying my rent. He came down here to see me and to wipe them out and keep them out clean and murder black people from achieving anything at all in Barbados because they want dominance over them all the time. I am not in this for fun. I am in this for serious business. If I got to give my life, I can give it. Because black people cannot continue to let white people do wrong to do to them. And every time you change the government, get worse position to the better position. And you know what the guy do? He came down, he looked at the place. He said, I like you, son. You got a lot of ability and I like your style. You got a little equipment here to do some things, but you can't do much. But I am going to supply you with equipment and everything and give you, listen, I'm Miami, Puerto Rico, the whole of South America, Brazil, the whole of the Caribbean, and all the products for these areas that we get orders for will be given to you. You don't know the Mile FM went back, they had a board of directors who had some white people on their husbands, right? And you know, in 2 weeks' time, they called the man tell me, I ain't there, I'm a racist. Do you understand how white people get in this country and destroy black progress? And then we wipe and remote talking about the Bible? No black person with any intelligence that read the Bible should be following the nonsense that's being talked to them from the Bible. I am not in this for fun, Mr. Corey. I am in this to make sure black people get a change. And the union in this country, what the union does nothing now, right now, nothing. All they're doing, as far as I'm concerned, is selling out black people. That's all they're doing. Because it's time enough that we accept that the workers must be owners in these businesses that are putting the life on to develop. That's a fact, Corey. And I could give a whole history about wrongs that people do to me. You know what they do to the others? And then you correct yourself. Nobody can come down here and put me out of no business. I was put out of business because every time they hear that NASA involved in a company, they stop buying from the company. We develop a living room set that was selling by the dozens every day. But it was done through a company called UNI Limited, and the man and them didn't know. And as a friend, I'm not afraid of no human being on earth. What is going on in Barbados is wrong. I mean, I'm only the premier of Barbados, a woman that I have a lot of respect and time to respect for her family. Must understand that she can go and make a fundamental change or I will challenge it, no matter what price I got to pay. It cannot continue.
Okay, 21 minutes afternoon, we galloping towards the news, and I understand what everybody's saying. I want to get in some more views from the public, so we're going to say good afternoon and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
I'm glad to be in now. I was told in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
welcome.
Your question today is whether this thing signals the change.
Mm-hmm.
And I will try to get to that shortly, but I want to go back to the question in the march yesterday. And, you know, there's a saying, when the U.S. or England sneeze, we cough. There was a sneeze in the U.S. with Trump trying his best to shut down the protests and so on. But the cough happened in Barbados because the march was shut down before it started. And people are talking about the Commissioner of Police. The Commissioner of Police is subject to higher authority as well. And I heard in the news the Attorney General self state that he had given permission for 10, but then they would have to apply as normal through the Commissioner of Police. So the Commissioner of Police and everything that happened yesterday would have been obviously on the direction of others. So I would not go down the line of lambasting the Commissioner of Police, anything of the sort. The big issue in Barbados, a big issue I should say, is with the justice system and a whole set of other things. Now, crossing back to a reference to what is going on in the U.S., if you listen closely, you would see, yes, the people marched about the death, or well, the recent death, but most critically, the one in Minnesota. But what when you listen to what they're pushing for, they're pushing for several socioeconomic changes, as well as changes to the justice system and policing and so on. Now, I cast my mind back to a few things locally because I think we should focus on the local, because Barbados has a lot of rottenness that exists within our shores. I'll cite an example. There was a time there was a missing lady in Barbados. A Caucasian pulled a gun. Look at what happens to little black people who are charged for a spliff, a box of cigarettes or something, sweets, anything they may steal, and see how they're treated. In fact, you yourself may be aware, Corey, and you could tell me if you are. When white people in Barbados call the police, make a complaint, but they're very quick to respond. Even without proper evidence, you would be surprised to know how the persons who they're called for or about are treated. You may very well, with your own situation and dealing with a number of youngsters in where you operate, might have experienced something similar. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you may have had to go on bail out
or talk them out.
Youngsters from police station. Mm-hmm. Is that true or not?
Yes, it is. I have my own examples. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at the rot that exists here.
But beyond looking at the rot, right? Because I think it's two questions. No, and I know you know where I'm going. The one is, we understand, although there's a litany of words there, there's an encyclopedia of examples there for us here and globally. The question is, are we at a turning point? And I think you sought to answer that.
I told you I was going to go on to the question you'd ask.
Right. But time is at the issue. So we got 4 minutes to the news.
That's why I'm so sorry I had to wait so long.
But still, you got to be pithy. You wait long and you get short contributions. That's the name of the game here. But the thing is, that's question number one. And then, of course, a spin-off of that, because again, people talk, man, I want to just talking. Hey, it's a talk show. But anyhow, what can you do to put solution on the table?
Right. Now, basically, you're talking about, in the U.S., the people are talking effectively what you could term affirmative action to correct some of those ills. Barbados definitely needs that, and it has to happen at the legislative level. If you look at the whole thing about investments and who are able to get them here, a lot of it has to do firstly with access to the information. And we know who gets that information before anybody else. You may even want to look at a situation where the mutual fund market, before the legislation was passed, there was a company set up engaging in that when persons in the credit union movement were very keen on it, but were told they had to wait until the legislation came out. But yet, it was possible to see a company formed and starting to engage in business before that was formally passed, that legislation.
Mm-hmm.
It is things like that. It needs clear, decisive action at a political level. A lot of these changes that we would like to see cannot happen unless there are black political directorate.
A lot of the times we point to legislation, right? But because I have an inside view now, and even before the inside view, I think I had a very good idea how this system worked. A lot of the rubber meets the road within the public service and within the senior public officers, because you can have legislation there. It can be written, you know, in gold. It could be plastered on the wall. But in terms of implementation, if you don't get the senior public officers on board, i.e., the AO1s and the permanent secretaries that actually enforce and deal with implementation, we're going to be in the same place, going nowhere or going fast on a merry-go-round. Anyhow, that music tells us it's time for the latest. You're to Brass Tack Sunday in the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. For business surprise, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all.
Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more. Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing. Big or small, at Williams Metals we have
it all. At Williams Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday, where we're looking at the topic of, is this a turning point for blacks in the world, or is this a flash in the pan? I'll take some WhatsApps, but before I do so, I just want to remind you that you're listening to this program brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. And we have on as our panel today on the line, Brother Nassar, Brother Buddy Laria, Brother David Denny, and of course you, any of you who can get through on the line or through the WhatsApp. I just want to read a couple of these messages before we go back to the panel and the lines. And this one, a number of comments here saying we need to hear some of the younger people on this. And for me, as a historic topic and looking at it from a historical point of view, I wanted to get the people that have been in the fight for some time. And this one says, "Hi Corey, I am still a pro Barbadian. However, after returning black slave bones to Africa, the government of Barbados should have been more supportive of the protests yesterday. 10 people, no placards, no blower horns, cannot be representative of support for black people." This one says, "Hi, the color of your skin being an issue for how we are treated in this world shows a lack of common sense. All lives matter is what should change the world against police brutality." This one goes on, it's pretty long, but it's talking about the financial education and using our leverage of numbers to create real power, political and financial. This one says, "Corey, I want to say I'm sick and annoyed at how the police harassed the peaceful demonstration on our streets yesterday for such a cause. The Royal Barbados Police Force should have behaved in a reasonable manner." Say they behaved in an unreasonable way. A couple more. This one says, "Hi, whites took us from Africa and spread our foreparents all over the world to be slaves. We are a sore in their eyesight, but that's their fault and their problem, not ours. Did they dislike us because we've prevailed despite all they have done to us, and they're still doing it to us. Black lives matter and we shall overcome." This one said, "A simple suggestion is the police could have came and assisted Mr. Denny with the march and organizing the rotation as opposed to trying to stop it." This one, last one, says, "If the predominant concern is social distancing given the COVID-19 pandemic, why is there no policing of the beaches and other areas where people have been gathering in numbers with no care for social distancing? So all over the world, people are gathering. Their authorities are less concerned about COVID-19. Shame on you, Barbados." And a long email which says, "When you look at all things collectively, the government has their knee on our collective necks. Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday, 21 minutes before 1. We go until 1:15 in this show. Let's go on, let's take a call and we have the panel interact with the telephone guests at this time. Good afternoon and welcome, Brass Tax Sunday. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Go ahead, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I called the program because I joined about 11:45 when you were talking to Mr. Nasser, and you were asking about the whole question of economic empowerment and some solutions. And, you know, I continue to be concerned when I hear Bajans describing, discussing, diagnosing, and so on. So I don't plan to do any of that. I want to go very straight into some serious recommendations that I have been making for, I would say, at least 2 decades. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the context of what is happening now, to me, they make sense. And I'm speaking as a credit union member of a credit union. As you know, in the 1980s, a number of credit unions were formed. Right now, we have about 208,000 people registered in credit unions in Barbados. And I believe that if we look at that, I mean, Public Workers has about 97,000, and they have assets of about $1.4 billion. I'm going to just quickly give you three of them. The City of Bridgetown has about 65,000 members and about $520 million in assets. Barbados Workers Union has about 125,000 members with $170 million in assets. Overall, there are 31 credit unions. And what I want to recommend is a set of proposals that, to me, can immediately address. And what I'm suggesting has nothing to do with acquiring sets or shares in the port, the airport, or whatever. I believe that credit unions, as independent bodies, have a membership base with some very specific needs. They need housing, they need food, they need energy. These are all areas of activity in which credit union members, as entrepreneurs, as consumers, have been getting involved. What I would suggest, therefore, and I'll use some numbers, as you probably know, I've said use numbers all the time, and I'll relate to those in relation to a couple questions or areas of concern that were raised by your panelists. And let me say good afternoon to your panelists. I didn't say hello to them.
Yeah, good afternoon.
There was a question about the need for education. If I can tell you, as a former credit union executive member, I have run credit union courses for years, including credit union personal financial management. Credit unions have a fundamental principle, which we call a social goal of ongoing education. The credit unions individually and collectively at the league level have been running courses. That is not a difficulty. There was another area identified, lack of financial literacy. And I can tell you that credit union members have been doing that part of the counseling of some when people going to borrow money. That's why they join credit unions. People get to understand that it's easier and cheaper and more sensible to borrow from a credit union than it is to go and get something on hire purchase, but I'm not going to get into details. And the big one that I keep hearing people is, where will the money come from? There's a need for financial resources. Now, recognizing what I said in my opening comments about the size of the movement, the credit union membership is there. And let me correct something, because I don't know if any of your panelists, to my recollection, have ever been actively involved in a credit union. Credit unions collect money in the form of savings, and they lend money. So if, for example, you were to look at the report of the Cooperative Credit Union League, the umbrella body for last year, you would see that the credit unions had a saving of about $2,170,000,000. But they also had loans of $1,716,000,000. What that means is they don't have a lot of money sitting around. So the notion that credit unions can take up money, that is a clear misunderstanding of reality. But I'll tell you what can happen. Credit union members are also members, are also customers, because there's a difference between the two, customers of commercial banks. And we know that commercial banks for several years have this significant liquidity in the banking system. Okay? So I'm using those two scenarios. One, the fact that we have, and people can take money from the credit unions as well, when I illustrate what I want to. Credit unions and the membership base also constitute the majority of adults in Barbados. So they are the consumers, they are the employees, they are the workers, they are the retired persons, school continue to save, et cetera. So what I am suggesting is, given the size of the credit union membership base, I want to illustrate that if we took, of those 207,000 or 208,000 members, 150 members, each invested $1,000, and it can be done over a year period. Let's say it is done in one step, because you can go and borrow the money from the credit union, or you can run across to your bank and take out $500 from there and get $500 from the credit union. And if you don't have savings that you that are not committed, you can borrow it because you're investing in something which will give you a return. So immediately, if you have that, and there's nothing in the law to stop it, and I'll show you the structure, so you don't have to go passing laws or changing anything. You're operating within the context of existing legislation. So if 150,000 members of credit unions tomorrow say, I am going to go with what that lady on the radio is suggesting, and we go and invest in a in what I call a venture capital pool, immediately you are mobilizing $150 million. And the truth is, again, to put that in perspective, $150 million within the context of the liquidity in our banking system, it's not a lot, but it is more than the government is trying to raise now from the in relation to the investments and so on. So if you put it in perspective, we have, as citizens, money at our disposal to work for ourselves. Now, what do you take that $150 million to do? The question is, where do you invest it? I do not recommend, and I say very strongly, investing in any bricks and mortar that exists already in terms of port or whatever. That can be secondary or tertiary or down the road. But right now, I believe that we need to use the resources as credit union members to create or add value purchase and consume products and services needed by the credit union members. As I said, we need food, and therefore there is a lot of scope, I believe, to encourage our young entrepreneurs, or we talk about agripreneurs, we've been doing a lot of training in that area, to get involved in smart agriculture and agribusiness, agroprocessing of a whole set of in several areas. We also need housing. I heard you mention of some credit unions who move a house from low income to middle income. The reality is that we have to get our young design engineers and so on to come up with some models of housing that address the challenges of climate change, that address the issue of building materials, that address the issue of cost. We also can develop approaches where houses are designed that are livable, but are not necessarily complete to the last, because you may have a house where you have your intention is to have three or whatever bedrooms, but you can design a house that is livable with two, and you can complete it as your finances improve. Mm-hmm. Energy, and this is a big one. A lot of things have been put in place for the renewable energy sector. Yesterday I passed an energy farm, and I asked myself, when will the credit union movement be encouraged to finance, not the small-scale projects, because, you see, one of the problems I have with micro-businesses is that many of them stay that way. But if we collectively use the principles and we invest in large-scale projects, what we need to be able to do, and I can tell you that the framework exists, is to ensure that we are able to invest in the kind and scale of the size in terms of scale and scope of renewable energy projects, which will allow the members collectively to be able to save some return. Because one of the worries I have are two things. One, we either will see significant foreign investment in energy, or we will see a concentration of investment in the hands of a few when there is significant scope to broaden that. And as I said, models have been put on the table, and that is something. So I really want to say that we do not have to go out there and scratch our brains to find what legislation needs to be changed, when, in fact, the fundamental principle of self-help, which is at the foundation of credit unions, we have demonstrated, and certainly the credit union I belong to, and I will call the name, Public Workers is a big one. I don't belong to that. I belong to City of Bridgetown. I mentioned COB having a membership of 65,000, but I am happy to say I'm member 122. So that tells you how long I've been around. And anybody who is in the credit union, haven't heard that number, would know who I am.
Have you had a sum up? Because we got Lani playing. Have you had a sum up the contribution?
There is that you were suggesting, and I have not heard anything put on the table concrete, that what we can do right now is the credit unions come together.
Mm-hmm,
there's
mm-hmm.
a structure in terms
right, there
of
you go.
Credit union as an institution cannot do it, but there are City of Bridgetown, for example, and public workers have subsidiaries, if you want to call it that, that have the capacity. Or you can create a new institution similar to a unit trust entity like Trinidad. But there is quote within the structures that exist to mobilize those resources to create business opportunities through the creation of a pool of investment capital, venture capital, to on lend to projects which come out of the credit union movement, because if you have 200 something thousand members, you're covering the whole of Barbados.
I want to top off the contribution by saying that it's funny enough you mentioned what I said about the housing, because I did tell the contractor, why not him, why not them, in terms of looking for capital outside of the traditional way to do the type of projects that they want, instead of going and have the door slam in your face every time. It is time that we start to look for new ways to achieve all objectives. And he did take the point, and I want to take the point from you, and thank you very much for your contribution as well. Let's take another call quickly as we head towards the end of the program. I want to say good afternoon and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.